morning to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. Psalm 50, verse 14. Psalm 50, verse 14. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, The Tale of the Two Turkeys. The Tale of the Two Turkeys. I see we have a comedian somewhere in the audience. Okay. All right. Thus saith the Lord, Psalm 50:14. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Four words. One of the meat and potato verses of Bible. Very simple to understand, very hard to twist out of shape. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Before we look at this passage, let's bow our heads and ask the Holy Spirit to open our minds to it. Spirit of God, we come to you first in thanksgiving that we can come to you and ask you to walk amongst us, Lord. And again, if there's one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, we do pray for their salvation. We also pray, Lord, that you would speak to every heart here and that you would give whatever's needed, be it comfort, be it edification, be it conviction, whatever it is, Lord, we pray that you would speak to every heart here as it pleases you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, A Tale of Two Turkeys may seem kind of bizarre, but the title is appropriate because it aptly describes the two traditional meals that will be served across America this Thanksgiving. I told the Bible study class, I have been trained in contrasts, and I find them very edifying, and I pray you will as well. For those in Christ, those of you who are in Christ, you're going to feast on turkey and trimmings, and you'll also enjoy the blessed bread of life with that meal, Jesus Christ. While those who reject the biblical Christ, they'll have a meal of nothing more than picking the meat off a dead bird's bones. That's their Thanksgiving. Not giving thanks to God is the tale of the first turkey. It's important to understand that the Thanksgiving that most America celebrates is nothing like the Thanksgiving the pilgrims celebrated. No comparison at all. In many ways, the Thanksgiving America celebrates really isn't anything much more than a pagan festival. That's difficult. That's a difficult truth to hear, isn't it? But it is the truth. And here's why I say that. First of all, let me begin by stating the obvious. Thanksgiving, as the name applies, means give thanks. Now that begs the question. For the lost, that begs the question. Who should they thank? If we're following the pilgrim's method of celebrating Thanksgiving, we're to be grateful that the sovereign God has provided everything that we have. That's what they were doing. That was the first Thanksgiving. During the time when America was a Bible-believing country and believed in the motto, In God We Trust, in that time frame, that's what Thanksgiving was all about, thanking God. People gathered together with family and friends, and they acknowledged the good things that God did for them during the past year. In a sense, Thanksgiving was a family day of worshiping God with a meal and with thanksgiving and praise to Him. It was a celebration of God and a celebration of all the bounties that He provides His people. But something happened. It was called the Industrial Revolution. When that happened, Americans began to fall away from the truth of Scripture. People didn't make time for God. They didn't have time to pray. They didn't have time to worship. They didn't have time to read their Bible. People began putting themselves on the back, patting themselves on the back for what they had done. I could raise both hands and both feet for that. I was a I was a big patter on my own back. And it wasn't long before many Americans took God out of Thanksgiving altogether, and they started celebrating the meal rather than the one who provided the meal, who made the meal possible. In just a few short generations, an apostatizing America believed that the turkey and all the trimmings was what Thanksgiving was all about. And today, in the 21st century, Thanksgiving has devolved from giving thanks to God for all of his blessings to just another pagan holiday. It's like Christmas is a pagan holiday to the world. Easter is a pagan holiday to the world. It's a day off from work. It's the Macy's parade, a football game. It's Black Friday. What an appropriate name. It's the annual Thanksgiving deer hunt for some. And it also has a host of other traditions that Thanksgiving has devolved into rather than Thanksgiving to God. You see, God is no longer the theme of Thanksgiving in most American homes anymore. The pilgrim tradition was lost when America exchanged the glory of God for a bird. And Paul explains this transition from God to a pagan ritual very well in Romans 1, 21 and 20 through 23. He says, because that when they knew God, which they do, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of God into the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beast and creepy things. So my question is to the world, not to you, but to the world. Why does America celebrate Thanksgiving when most people are not thinking or thanking the sovereign God for all their blessings? What's the point? Why does America celebrate Thanksgiving? Why are they doing it? Are they celebrating the pilgrims' landings? Well, God made that happen. He saved them from the Indians. Are they celebrating the fact that the Indians didn't kill them? No. God did that too. Are they celebrating the founding of America? Nope. God did that as well. Are they celebrating the greatness of America? Nope. God did that too. Or perhaps they're celebrating the blessings in their life. The sovereign God made those things happen as well. It's all about God. So if you take God out of the equation, which America has done, if you do that, brothers and sisters, then why are they celebrating Thanksgiving? Why? If he's out of the picture, what's the point? And who are they giving thanks to? That's another good question we should ask. Who are they thanking? I mean, isn't that what Thanksgiving is? Giving thanks? So who are they thanking? If they're not thanking God, who are they thanking? I dare say the irreverent and the ungodly, they give thanks to no one. They don't. It's just a holiday, a day off from work. Paul describes them perfectly in Romans 1:21. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And for professing Christians, those that claim Christianity, they claim Christ in name only. Their prayers are thanksgivings. At Thanksgiving, their prayers for Thanksgiving or of Thanksgiving to God, those prayers never hit the light fixtures. The inspired scripture tells us they go to devils. 1 Corinthians 10:20, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. So if you're just a religious person, if you go to church to make yourself feel good, If you go to church to say, well, now I went to church, I threw some money in a bucket, I guess I'm really a good person. If you go to church for any reason except to worship the sovereign God, if you go there for any reason other than that, and you pray, I guess that light over there is about 8 feet off the floor, 10 feet. It wouldn't even hit that light fixture right there. It's for these reasons I tell you that Thanksgiving today for most America is nothing more than a pagan festival. It's a godless holiday that celebrates the meal rather than the one who made the meal possible. I think Paul's comment about the counterfeit Christians in the church at Philippi applies to many who celebrate Thanksgiving in America today. Paul writes, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in the shame with minds set on earthly things. So if you're celebrating the God of your belly this Thanksgiving, whoever you might be, if you're listening to this, instead of giving thanks to the sovereign God, I invite you to come to Calvary and ask Jesus to save you from your sins. Come and repent of your sins and submit your life to Christ. Dedicate your life to Christ. End your hostility to God. He has a bloody sacrifice that will help you do that. Jesus made that sacrifice to cleanse you of all your sins. It's that simple. Only then, if you do that, if you come to Calvary, you repent of your sins, you realize you're a sinner, only then can you claim the promise of Romans 10:13, for whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And only then will you truly understand and be able to enjoy the real Thanksgiving. If I'm speaking to your heart, you call or see me after the service. If you want to upgrade from a pagan festival to a Thanksgiving celebration that you can't even imagine, if you want to do that, you call me or see me, and I'll show you in God's Word how He wants you to make Thanksgiving an everyday event. The second tale of the two turkeys is what Thanksgiving is really about. For those of us who are born again, and I like that word because it's not being used much anymore. It's a great word. We're not renewed, born again. Thanksgiving is another opportunity to give thanks to God for all the blessings He has poured into our lives. It's just another opportunity. Our text tells us, offer unto God thanksgiving, which simply means we are to be a thankful people and express our gratitude to God for all that He has done for you and I. Paul backs that up in Ephesians 5:20. He says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All things, I don't care what it is. You want to know something that I think a lot of people don't thank God for? Is adversity. Adversity is a gift. Philippians 1:29, it is given unto you to suffer for Christ. And it's written in the tense that it's a gift. Adversity is a gift. And we don't thank God enough for that. I can't tell you how many times since that came into my mind very clearly, no matter what it is, no matter how bad it is or how good it is, it's thank you. Thank you, thank you. And John the Baptist reveals that everything we have is a gift from God. Remember, John answered when they talked about baptism. He says, what can a man receive unless it has been given to him? John 3:27. And our brother Paul confirms that with the rhetorical question of 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do we have that you did not receive? What do you have this morning that wasn't given to you? And for those who would argue, well, I worked for it. I went to school. I learned. I did this. I did that. I tell you that everything you ever did, you only did because God allowed you to do it. He gifted you with it. And it doesn't matter what it is. If you have a cardboard box, He gifted you with that box. It doesn't matter what it is. Everything. We should give thanks every day for all the blessings we have. And what an incredible list of blessings we receive the moment we're saved. That young lad just said, I'm glad that I'm saved, that I'm a believer. Well, young man, starting at your age, knowing Christ as your Savior, you're going to know what joy and peace and all the fruit of the Spirit is very, very, very throughout all your life, for years and years and years, Lord willing. Let me tell you what some of the things we should be thankful for. How about the gift of forgiveness of sins? Colossians 2:13. The forgiveness of sins simply means this. I have no guilt anymore because sin comes, there's sin, then there's the guilt of sin. And then when I go to Christ, he washes away the sin. The guilt goes down the drain with it. So I am free of that. Now, if people could just forgive and know that their sins were forgiven, you think the world would be in the state it's in now? It wouldn't. You have the gift of forgiveness from God. You have the gift of freedom from bondage of sin. You don't have to sin. Every sin a believer makes is a choice. It's a choice. You know what God approves of. You know what he doesn't approve of. Something comes in the middle, you have to decide. Does he approve of it? No. Am I going to do it? Yes or no. You choose to sin, but you're free from the bondage of it. Before you were saved, you couldn't do that. How about access to God? Romans 5:1. You have access to the throne room of God. How about unconditional love, unconditional peace, unconditional joy, unconditional hope, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23. These are gifts. What is peace worth? What is true love worth in your life? The gifts. How about being an adopted child of God? You may have a family. We all have families, right? But to be an adopted member of the household of God, you are no longer strangers and aliens from the covenant of promise, but now members of the household of God. Wow. How about being indwelt with the Holy Spirit? Having a guide, a built-in guide. Somebody who will tell you right from wrong, who will guide you into all truth, who will open your mind to the truth. How about being joint heirs with Christ? You know why God made us joint heirs instead of saying, well, I'm going to give Wink 400 acres over there in that section of glory. I'm going to give his brother Vinny 300 in that section. I'm going to give our sister Pam 150 over there. And I'm going to give Pastor Brian about 20 over there. You know what the difference is? When you own land or you own it, just that land. If you're joint heirs, you own it all. It's wonderful. You own every bit of it. Being a joint heir with Christ means that whatever he owns, you own it too. That's a blessing. Now, you could say to yourself, well, I don't see too much of that now. But I got to tell you what, on a bad day, that's a great thought. That's a great thought. How about victory over the world? John 5:4, you have victory over the world through your faith. Your faith has given you the victory over the world. The glitter of the world is there. That doesn't mean you can't have cars, you can't have a house, you can't have a bed. It means nothing like that. It means that God is the center of your universe and everything else is just a blessing you know he brought to you. So the world no longer has you in bondage to it. The I want has been fulfilled in Christ. Because the only thing that you will ever have that has any value in this, any value in your life is Christ. Everything else is temporary. Only him. What a blessing. How about victory over death? You know why people fear death? I've asked them. You know, why do you fear death?
Well, you know, it's a cessational life. It's like, you know, lights out.
And that's not what death is. Death is the same thing as a butterfly, as a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. And the Bible says that you'll know, you'll remember certain things. Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man knew Lazarus. He even knew Abraham. How he did that, I don't know. But it was God done, of course. But the fact is that death is not a cessation of life. We just, who was it we lost? Don Ross. A Christian, a good, Bible-believing Christian. He's more alive now in glory than he ever was here. He's more alive. So you don't die. The true death comes from somebody outside of Christ who dies here, and then they go to their eternal state, which is hell or the lake of fire. That's true death. That's true death. But life, you have the victory over death. You have life in Christ. Eternal life, an eternal home. The list of blessings, I don't have to go through them. You guys know the list of blessings that God gives his people are overwhelming. For these reasons and many more, Thanksgiving should be an everyday event for you and I. You should be giving thanks every day. Is that not why the Bible says pray without ceasing? Because his gifts to you are unceasing. They're always there. Proof verse for that abound. Here's a couple. Psalm 26:7. David writes, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Paul backs that up in Colossians 3:17, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we're commanded to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and you and you and you. All of which means we are to be a thankful people because we have much to be thankful for. And it's also important to understand that giving thanks is not just about being polite. Some people say, well, they give you something. Well, say thank you. It's not about being polite. It's not about words at all. We talked about that in Bible study. It's what's in your heart. You need to have a thankful heart. In God's eyes, thanksgiving is a type of sacrifice. Did you know that? Proof verse, Psalm 116:7. He says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. And in Hebrews 13:15, that we're reminded, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. It's a sacrifice. You are a member of a royal priesthood. You're to give sacrifices to God, and one of them is thanksgiving. But it has to come from your heart. You have to understand that. Your thanksgiving to God must be heartfelt. Only heartfelt thanksgiving will draw you, and that will draw you nearer to God. And we're reminded of that in Psalm 34:18. The psalmist writes, The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as has a contrite heart. And I'd also add, any thanksgiving to God that comes from a cold heart isn't really thanksgiving at all. Remember being a kid and you did something really stupid and your mother said, you know, or your father said, you know, you got to say, I'm sorry. All right, I'm sorry. You weren't sorry. You just said it. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry because I got caught, or I'm sorry because they told me to say it, right? That's not true repentance. You can't do it with a cold heart. Listen to what Matthew 15:8 says about people. Now he's talking to professing Christians, and he's talking to them, and Jesus says, these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And here's the part that you really need to hold on to. And in vain they worship me. You can go to a church. You can have a new organ or an old one or a piano. You can have bucket. You can throw money in the bucket. You can have hymnals. You can sing. You can do all of that stuff. But if you do it with a cold heart, you're just wasting your time. You're just wasting your time. Another attribute of true thankfulness is the reflection of your thankfulness shining on other people. That little boy that raised his hand was just tickled pink that he was born again Christian. That light shining very bright. Very, very bright. Jesus commands us in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You're to show what you have. You're to be thankful to God. You're to go out into a dark world, and you're to live that life that you believe in. You're to live it. And that's what shining a light. It's a metaphor for doing that. Live it. You'll never know Scripture until you live it.
If you love God and are genuinely thankful for His grace, you know what? People are going to notice it. People will see your light. They may not like it, but that's okay. At least they see it. That's a sign for you, Mel. It's a sign that your light is on and it's shining bright. Because what happens when a light shines in darkness? The darkness runs away. It recedes. And the same is true in the world. That's why we're to love our enemies. That's you showing the love of God inside of you, loving somebody that you know despises you or has even said bad things or harmed you. Loving them. I remember, I just never got that out of my head. There was a woman, an elderly woman, and she was on the news, and I was watching her, and a man had killed her son, and he was getting out of prison, and she stayed in touch with him for the years that he was incarcerated. And when he got out, she adopted him. She made him a member of her family. And she said, "He's not my enemy. And what he did was horrible, and what he took away from me is horrible. But my God said that I'm to love." And this woman showed it. That light was seen everywhere. You know, people thought she was probably a nutcase, but if you're a believer, you look at a person that does that, there's only one way a person can do that. The supernatural gift of unconditional love that God gives his people.
If you love God and you are genuinely thankful for his grace, people will notice it. You know how they'll notice it? They'll notice it with the love. They'll notice your joy. And remember, joy and faith are like, they're like co-workers, okay? They got to go together. It's like an elevator and a cable. They work together. They work in tandem. Your joy and your faith are subject to each other. If your joy is high, your faith's going to be high. If your faith is low, your joy is going to be low. But people see that. If you're a believer and they know you're a believer, they'll see how you deal with stress. And then you have patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of those things should be exercised in your life so the world can see it. Not to mention, it will benefit you in doing that, in that it will give you victories you wouldn't have if you didn't do that. But the side effect of that is that the world will see it. They'll see the glory of God. And by living a life that's full of thankfulness and spiritual fruit, the world will see your love for God. And just as importantly, they'll see his love for you in giving you those gifts. That's why saints should be a living testimony of thanksgiving to God. Our actions, our attitudes, and our affections should all center around Christ. And we have a perfect example of what that looks like in Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is I no longer who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Christ was everything to Paul. Nothing mattered but him. He says in another place, "I count all things as rubbish for the excellent knowledge of Jesus Christ." And that, by the way, a life that's lived that way is the greatest sacrifice of thanksgiving you can ever give God. Is to live a Christocentric life. And lastly, we demonstrate our thankfulness by offering God gifts. The first one is the gift of ourself. David testifies to that truth in Psalm 30:12. "To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." And Paul put it this way in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it is. If he's given you all the equipment, it's your reasonable service to exercise that equipment and to use it in your life and share it with other lives. How about our time? We give thanksgiving to God when we spend time, our time in Bible studies. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fellowship. Hebrews 10:24-5. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Christian service. Psalm 2:11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. That's a reverential fear. And how about visiting the brethren? James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: visit orphans and widows in trouble. See the difference between the first turkey and the second? That's, beloved, is the tale of the two turkeys. For the lost, Thanksgiving is just another godless holiday. It's here today, gone tomorrow. Nothing really changes in their lives except perhaps their waistline. Without God, this tale of the turkey really is just another pagan holiday. But for God's elect, the tale of the turkey is altogether different. Although we as children of light will share a meal together with family and friends, we might also enjoy a football game or maybe a day out hunting or a parade or some form of entertainment. But the central point in our Thanksgiving is celebrating the goodness, the grace, and the blessings of a sovereign God who has given us everything we have. And the acknowledgement of that and the knowing of that and the giving of thanks to that is what Thanksgiving is all about. We celebrate and we give thanks for all the miraculous things the Lord has done, is doing, and will do for us. And most importantly, to the born-again believer, Thanksgiving is an everyday event. It's something you celebrate every day. So go home, beloved of God, rejoicing, because the tale of the turkey is an everlasting celebration of God's glory and his love for his people. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you have made us a thankful people. Paul even makes it clear that thanklessness is the mother of sin. And we know, Lord, that you have given us everything and we are a thankful people. Pray, Lord, in this upcoming year, or even now before the year ends, we might remember some of the things you've done. We might replay the wonderful events in our life that you have done for us, Lord, for your glory. Oh, God, help us to do that. And in the upcoming new year, Lord, in this coming new year, if you give us this new year or any part of this new year, Lord, we pray that you would continue to help us to give thanksgiving to you, for you are worthy of honor and praise and glory from all of your people with every breath they take. It's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. Our closing hymn is in a church handout.